big news. Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Enjoy this episode of Low Moon Palace Pages.
Okay, so this will be Palace Pages, September 21st, the third Sunday in September. Before we begin, we're going to do a quick devotional, and then after that, we will have a recap as to where we're at. And joining us today to sit in is Haley McCrory, who will be considering whether or not she wants to become a Palace Page participant. So right now, she's just here with us today observing. All right, here's our devotional. It is based on 1 Corinthians 2:7, which is interesting because I mentioned this during the service today. There is a body of truth. Oh, I gotta read the verse. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. That's 1 Corinthians 2:7. And it says, there is a body of truth that infects, revives, transforms, and continuously renews the human heart. It's hard to put it into words. It's not enough to say God loves us, but the Holy Spirit must imbue these words with their special meaning. It's not even enough to say that we will live forever. But there is more to know of it, and it is to be known by a people made in his image. Saved from sin and regenerated to new life. It is hidden in plain sight because language fails to explain it unless it is exchanged between two individuals that have been thus regenerated. The voice of God himself is unknowable, indiscernible, and frankly, outside the reach of belief unless you've known him and experienced it for yourself. To be dead in trespasses and sins is to never know it. To be brought to life in Christ is to gain access, and no amount of faking it will do. Also, I think that to know it is to desire it, and to compare it, having known it, to the things of the world is to find the world sorely lacking in anything at all that comes close. Therefore, it is not knowledge that saves or changes, but his presence alone. That is what we need. And while we cannot understand it, if we have not been there, we can feel that we do not have it and desire it, which can start us on a road of repentance, and he can do the rest. Keep track of what date I did.
Ow!
Okay, so in this episode of Palace Pages, as we pick up Dan, the Cavalier, and Selena.
You couldn't remember my name.
That's terrible. I drew a blank for a second. Anyway, they are staying in the little village. You were staying in Maury's Mill, which is a big mill, windmill, basically, that the wind blows the arms of the windmill, and they use that to grind up grain into flour. Maury is a pretty prominent person in town, as you saw. Not only he feeds a lot of the town, makes meals and stuff like that, and then on top of that, he offered you hospitality, and he said he would never turn down hospitality to somebody in need. You spent the night. During the night, you had an attack, basically, by some ghouls, undead creatures, that came to try to steal the boy, apparently, or whatever they were actually up to. Meanwhile, you managed to escape the mill during that time, kept him free and safe, and then most of the creatures were killed off.
Found a random cat.
And then during the time when you went looking for the boy, Ollie is his name, you couldn't find Ollie, but you did find a cat, and the cat fled with you. And then when you came back, the cat had returned to the room where Ollie was staying, and then when you went in, you found Ollie back in his bassinet. And so then you had a suspicion that Ollie and the cat were one and the same, but you didn't really have any proof, right, other than
Well, the cat ate him.
The kind of proof that is not for sure.
What if the cat stroked him and ate him?
That's a word. Evidence.
What if the cat stroked him and ate him?
No, because he's back anyway. All right, well, anyway, so then the next morning, Ollie was serving breakfast, and Ed did eventually serve lunch. He met some interesting people, and then a rider came to town, one of the dark knights that had been searching the royal retreat that you had fled from in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
And Dan ran into him in the middle of the street and wound up playing kind of tag with him, running through the running through the stables and the corral next door and so on. And then the townspeople came out in force, 15 to 20 of them, including the sheriff and Maury, and they chased him off, basically. But that meant that even though the pink smoke was rising above the walls of the retreat, you were not able to go back because that's the way he went, and you definitely did not want to run into him. You're thinking they were pretty tough before, and so you're thinking that they are maybe more than a match for the two of you combined.
Except the fact they wanted to go that way.
Anyway, it would have been easier to go direct until you ran into him and possibly any other opposition. So in the meantime, there was a local who suggested that you could go and meet up with his sister, who owns a sailing vessel that's parked off the coast about 8 miles away. And so you could make your way there while it was still daylight, get on her boat, come into Southern Miss Cove via the water side, via the Great Southern Sea, and then go from there back to the retreat. And theoretically, that would be unexpected, and you'd be able to make it back safely. So when we left off, you were just heading toward the village. You were getting a wagon ride, so you were not walking the whole distance. It's now sunny. It's probably 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and sunny outside. The driver of the wagon is a young man named Sam. He's probably 14, 15 years old. Why is it not making any sound? Because I'll turn down. So in the wagon are the two of you, Ollie, Marilyn, the lady in waiting, and Sam is driving. So Ollie has been climbing from the seat of the wagon, which is a little higher, down into the back and back up again for the last roughly half an hour as you've been riding. So are either of you doing anything in particular during that time? That's Ollie. He literally just described what he was doing. No, that's Maury.
Okay.
All right. So Ollie is the boy, and he's climbed up into the seat, and then he was up there for about like 5 or 10 minutes sitting with Marilyn, and then he climbed back down with you guys, and then now he's climbed up. But currently, he's sitting up in the seat with Marilyn again. He's just having a hard time staying still during the kind of boring wagon ride. The sky is blue, sparse clouds, sunny, 65 degrees outside, no sign of rain or any trouble. The road is smooth, and there's gravel all the way. You've been on a smooth gravel road the whole way. You hear the constant clucking of the wagon. It's a buckboard wagon, so there is no top on the back of the wagon. If it were raining, you would definitely be getting wet. It is being pulled by two horses, and they are big, beautiful draft horses, probably 7, 8 years old. No longer suitable for war horses, but great for pulling the wagon. Both are brown. Are you doing anything in particular? You've had a half an hour wagon ride so far, and you know it's going to be another probably hour and a half before you get there.
All I could do is,
I have a pink ribbon. Ollie can play with the pink ribbon.
Okay, so you give Ollie a pink ribbon to play with for a while.
Would it be possible for me to practice sword stances?
Probably not in the wagon. However, you could do your bodybuilding for the day. You have to do bodybuilding every day. So 2 hours of like push-ups, sit-ups.
Come here, Ollie.
It would probably occupy him for the 1.5 hour.
You should do
up
it.
Up and down,
do
up
it.
And down. No, okay.
No, I'm going to do push-ups.
All right. So he's doing push-ups and sit-ups and whatever in the back of the wagon, getting his bodybuilding in for the day. Are you doing anything other than playing with Ollie with the pink ribbon?
Okay.
So you wait. You watch as farms go by. You see farmers in their fields. You know it's close to harvest, and you see people out like pulling weeds and like that, but not actually harvesting yet. You pass cornfields and wheat fields, and birds fly overhead. At one point, you think you see a falcon that came from the general direction of the retreat and is hunting. And you see him dip down into a large copse of trees and is probably looking for small animals. And then you lost sight of him after that. Another half an hour goes by, so you've got in almost an hour of your bodybuilding for the day.
How long do I have to have again?
2 hours every day.
Okay. Yeah, just to do it.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that running did something about it too.
Sam and Marilyn make small talk the whole way. She seems kind of enchanted by him. He's definitely very overly friendly towards her. And he tells a joke and she laughs, that kind of thing.
I'm just here.
After about an hour and 15 minutes, you see a ridgeline of mountains coming down from the right. And then you see the road turns kind of left, and it's going to go along the edge of those mountains. And you can already see a little bit of, like, a village, like, buildings sitting on the edge. And you think that's probably where you're going.
Don't think I've been in a carriage for this long before.
Yes, you have. You rode in the wagon from the palace to Southern Mystical Retreat. And it
they made me walk.
Almost a full day. Well, off and on. You walked some, and you rode some. Okay. Anyway, as you are nearing the town, you do see a small contingent of knights, and six in number, but they're not dark knights. They're actually wearing tabards of the Southern Mystico knighthood, and which is a white field with a blue rising lion with its claws up like this, basically.
I guarantee that's gonna...
He's gonna make us...
go into some kind of danger, because that's what, we always see knights before we go into danger, because then Dad gives us a way to get out using the knights. So if now he's going
to
tell us we're getting
in character, not out of character. It's cool thing. Cool thing.
That's not working.
I know. This is the point. Okay. Anyway, so Sam guides the wagon. You make the journey. It turns left, and you see the town laid out before you. It's about 60 buildings. Which is quite a bit. It's a lot more than Maury's town. You see a marketplace off to the left. And you see a dozen masts of ships rising from the water in the cove just beyond it. It's still daylight and will be light for another probably hour and a half. The sun has not set. You see it's a big orange ball in the sky to the west. And he picks his way through town. You have to stop a couple of times as they're waiting for somebody to get out of the way. There's obviously quite a mix of people. There are six taverns in the town, which is a lot, even for a town with 60 buildings. That's a lot of taverns. And you see a bunch of sailors that look like they come off the ships and they're spending their money. And as you pass one tavern, you hear the sounds of like hooting and hollering and arguing inside the tavern. Mind you, it's not dinner time yet, so these are probably men on shore leave. So they have to stop a couple times in the street as it's blocked, and then pretty soon you're coming up, and he turns the wagon sideways, and you basically come to a point where the gravel road sort of kind of narrows and stops next to the beach, and there's a ridge line, drops about 6 inches, and then there's sand, and it's coarse gray sand. It looks like coriander seed or very little pebbles, basically. And it goes down, then there are boats sitting on the shore, and you can see easily 30 ships. All smaller vessels, one and two masts. There's no warships or any big merchant ships or anything like that. They're all smaller vessels. And the cove only goes out about 100 yards, and all the ships are in the cove, basically, kind of packed in there. Okay? You see a little shack at the end of the only wharf. There's one long dock, basically, that extends out into the water. And there's a shack there that's about 6 foot in diameter. It's made of shingles go up the side and then shingles on the peak on the top. And Sam says, "That's the harbor master shack there. You're looking for the Willow Light. I would inquire and see for sure if she's in port. I'll wait and find out whether or not you're going to have a ride for sure."
You couldn't have found that out earlier?
Oh, how? There are no cell phones or telegrams.
We don't have a ride. What are we going to do?
Then he'll take you back or wherever you want to go next.
If you don't want to miss any of the story, Low Moon Origins, Uprising, or Outsiders, like and follow our podcast. Please share it with friends.
Anyway, there's no way to find out. This is medieval times. Unless you have magic, there's no way to find out what's going on 4 hours away from where you are. Did you have magic that would accomplish this task?
Oh,
if not, then that's why.
Unless a paper can write on a magic missile.
No.
Okay. They send the paper on a fireball. Yeah, right. That's not how it works.
So Marilyn climbs out off the wagon, and she's carrying Ollie, and she walks over toward the wharfmaster's hut.
I kind of want to go to the market, but I don't think I can.
Right now you need to make sure you have transportation away.
Yeah,
obviously, you're scanning the crowds, and whenever you see a man in armor, you're looking to see if any of them would be a dark guy. You're pretty far away from the retreat here, but it is possible that they could pursue you this far.
They found us at the mill.
Yep.
Also, I love the fact that the guy was calling me a fugitive, and I kept him running back and forth from one side to the other, and he was going back to the horse.
Is this the newest dock from the mill?
Yes.
So, most likely they will search you if they don't find us.
If they come this way, right?
I doubt they
will.
So,
we better get out of here.
I'm gonna go.
Well, the idea is to get a boat and get out of here.
Well, if they're not town and she won't be back for a little bit, I'm gonna go to the market.
Well,
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here! Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I'm going with Marilyn to the Wharfmaster's hut. That's the question right now.
Are you gonna go? To the hut?
Find out if you're
Yeah. With Marilyn?
Yeah. Don't you dare go to the market. You better be back. You know bad things happen at the market. You know bad things
I've been kidnapped at the market before. I'll be fine. I can do it.
Why did you have to choose your profession to be a knight? I'm not
sorry. Okay. So you and Marilyn head to the Wharfmaster's hut and you're heading to the market.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have the janitor's contact me.
Not that simple, Jan.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So, as you approach the hut, as I said, it's like 6 foot in diameter, about 10 foot tall, comes to a peak at the top, does have a little post, a little flag, and the flag is blowing in the wind away from the water right now, so it's blowing into the cove. You walk around the side that faces the wharf, and there's a window, and there's a little wooden ledge there on the door, basically. And inside you see a man, and as soon as you step up, he steps up. He's probably in his late 50s, has curly white hair, and a graying mustache and beard. And he sets a clipboard, which neither of you are real familiar with. They're an invention of Southernist code, but you've probably seen one or two before.
They had to sign our name on a clipboard before trying to enter a gate.
There you go. He sets the clipboard up on the ledge, and he says, "How can I help you?"
Okay.
We need a... I don't remember the lady's name. What's the lady's name who said... What's the boat's name? What's the boat's name?
I don't think the boat
Willow,
has...
Willow White.
We are scheduled to ride on the Willow White to get back to the retreat.
To go to Southern Misco.
To go to Southern Misco.
You don't want to tell him where you're going in case he gets interrogated later or whatever. The Willow White is in port. You say you're already scheduled to ride on the Willow White, or did you be seeking a berth?
No, I have no idea
what that means.
Did you want to get passage on the boat now?
Yes.
All right. He leans out the window, and you kind of are forced to step back a little bit, and he looks down the beach to the right, and he says, "See that there, lad, standing by the launch there, the fifth one down?
Yes.
The kid with the blue scarf?
Yep.
He's from the Willow White. That's their launch.
Okay.
They got to have an officer in town somewhere. suggest you talk to him.
Thank you.
That'll be one copper for the information.
Okay.
Wow, if I was there, you should tell me to pay.
Okay. And then he does jot down on the clipboard. All right. You and Marilyn head down to the boy. He sees you coming. He takes his blue scarf that's wrapped around his head, actually. He takes it off and he holds it to his stomach and he bows his head slightly. He says, "Ladies, it's a pleasure to be meeting at you today."
Huh.
Marilyn smiles. Sad.
"We need a ride to Southern Mexico."
"'Tis true. The Willow White's going there this eve. Got some passenger berths still available. Captain's up in town at the tavern. She'd be back soon. You can hang out here with me."
"Okay. We need to go quite soon, if possible."
"If you be rushing her, you should know she don't be rushed very well. She gets a little irritated. That being said, if you want me to take a message, I could run up into town and let her know you're here seeking the berth. She might come back for that."
"That would be great."
"I'm supposed to watch the boat, but... Hey, Clarky, can you keep an eye on the launch for the Willow White while I run up into town and deliver a message?" "Sure, lad. Do what you gotta do." "All right, then. Y'all can wait here, and I'll be back shortly. Let you know what she says."
"Thank you."
Okay. Yeah. He literally runs away. You notice as he runs that he's barefoot. He's got tattered pants and a white shirt, and he doesn't put it. He carries his scarf in his hand. Laying in the launch, as you're standing, you see the oars to row the boat, and also belaying pins, or the pins that they use to hold the ropes on board ship. And so he runs off. All right, so meanwhile, Dan pokes his way into the market. As you are rounding into the main market, what you see before you is a stretch of booths, both sides,
nice.
Tables, basically. They're tarps over the top, duck from sun and rain. And you figure there's probably about 20 markets total, or 20 booths total. Yeah, you can definitely kind of like hunt down a weapons booth. However, as you do that, you're passing a tavern on the right-hand side, and there are horses that are parked in front of the tavern. So you have to walk way out around the horses, or you have to walk up on the porch. Which do you do?
Dan's gonna
go. I'm gonna go on the porch.
Okay. So you smell the smells of cooking meat, a couple of different kinds of alcohol, you think, and you hear raised voices inside the tavern. They seem to be enjoying themselves.
I bet your hands sort of screams from inside.
Drunk
man. I'm going inside.
Okay. Roll a d6 for me.
Yeah. 5.
Okay. So as you just as you pass in front of the tavern door, which it has a kind of like swinging, double swinging doors, like old Western bar type doors. And just as you pass, the door flops open hard, and a man has been thrown out. And he lands on the porch in front of you. It's a wooden porch. And he bounces off down one step, and then he's immediately trying to get up. And as he does, another man follows him out. And the man, so he's like, he literally steps right within like 6 inches, nose to nose almost of you as he's following him out. You step back in time not to get hit by the door, but then he's right in front of you. Okay? You are not surprised. You can roll initiative.
Okay.
Well, she's not surprised. There's a tavern.
I got the button again.
Okay. All right. Do you have a dex bonus?
Not yet.
Okay. So you are simultaneous with him on initiative, which means you're both going at the same time. What do you?
What
do?
Does he do? What
well,
does he have?
Simultaneous. So
what does he have?
Nothing. Open hands.
I'm just gonna go. Bye bye. I'm gonna run away.
Okay, so you're gonna run across in front. Like, try to go around him or go back the way you came?
I'm gonna go around him.
Okay. Right? So, as you're trying to go around him, he tries to grab you.
No, that's okay.
Which he does. And then he throws you into the street.
What happened?
It seems like he was throwing you at the guy that he had chased outside, but he missed.
So
instead, you bounce off the ground, and you take 4 points of damage.
Ow.
Of which one is real.
Damn, at 31.
Yep. So only one of them are real, so once you rest 3 minutes, the other three will come back. Okay? So now you're in the...
DM at 32.
Were you at 35?
Yeah, I was
so right now you're at 31, but once you rest a minute, one will come back, and then another minute, another one, and so on. So right now you're at 31. You still go to zero. Okay, anyway, so you scramble up off the ground. You see that the guy who first came out charges back up toward him, and they're wrestling on the step.
I don't want to get involved then. I've done enough of that already.
Okay. Checking to see there's a small chance that a horse nearby will step on you or something. Nope, nothing does. The horses skid around a lot, and there's quite a bit of, like, neighing and stomping, but
back to what I was originally going to do.
All right, so now it's easier probably just to go around the horses and off to the... Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so as you're walking and calming down on the way into the marketplace, you gain 1 point back. So now you're down 3, 1, which is real. Okay. The fight continues. There, you hear quite a bit of, like, punching things and throwing, and some kind of sounds like glass broke or something like that.
Oh, someone got thrown through a window.
Well, they just dropped the glass.
Random music for a fight.
But as you move away from the tavern, the sound fades behind, and you see before you a very active marketplace.
Yay!
As I said, it's about 20 to 25 booths total.
We're going to go find weapons.
And you're picking your way to the marketplace. Alright, so as you look for weaponry... you're just looking for a booth that sells weapons in general. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you do see a booth to the right-hand side that has pikes, lances, and spears, and they're sticking up above the crowd, and so you head over that way, and you see that they also have short swords, daggers.
Wow.
Footman's maces, horseman's maces, picks, flails. Okay. So it's an L shape. There's a building, and the building looks like it's a money changer. You know, the sign is not like stacked up. I think it's a money changer or precious.
I still have a copper tubing, but I'm trying to find somewhere to sell it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still.
Anyway, you lose your as long as you have a copper tubing. Anyway, so the money changer shop forms the one side, like where the one part of the L, and it comes out from there, and then it goes to the right. And then there's a space in between there that goes to stables and the corral. And then in front of the stables is another room.
What's it with being located in the corrals and stuff?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I know,
but
everywhere I go,
it's one thing. It's got to be the towns and people have horses, so they have to be in
the corrals. Sure. Okay. But,
all right, anyway. So you peruse the table. They have a variety of mostly pretty normal. All right. So you spend 10, 15 minutes going over the knives and daggers. You find two of interest, one knife, one dagger, that are better than average quality. The knife is very well balanced for thrusting and parrying, not for throwing. And then the dagger is kind of clunky and strong and heavy, but it does have a razor sharp edge to it. And they are, the knife is 20 gold pieces and the dagger is 25.
Yeah, I ain't gonna get
that. That's very expensive. They do have daggers there, but I don't think knives that are worth 5 silver to 3 gold.
Okay.
All right. Meanwhile, you're shopping in the marketplace. and you guys are standing by the boat. No one else comes. While you're standing there, you see him run off, you see him disappear into town, round in the corner, probably going to the tavern to find the captain. As you scan throughout the harbor, you can see that there are probably a half dozen to 10 vessels that are preparing to take off. Get these details? Okay. And they all have local flags, no moon, and so on. You do see one large merchant vessel. It's the biggest vessel in port, and it's also the furthest out. And it is a bark, which you say like it has a raised rear deck, lower middle deck, raised deck, and it has two masts, one in the middle, one in the front, and then in the back it has a triangular mast that swings. Rather this way. And you can see that it looks like they are at anchor, not planning on moving anytime soon. Okay. That flag, after you watch it for a minute, that flag glows and you recognize it as Lavaria. So Lavar is a nation that is to the south. The elves are very familiar with them, but you run, your nation runs caravans back and forth across the desert between Lavar and the Elves. You don't personally, obviously, but you trade there a lot. You also know that that is where the dealings of your father's brother, which is your uncle, were. Something to do with trade dealings with Lavar is what got him in trouble. And so it just strikes you as a direct one. There is a ship that probably would be headed back to Lavar. I mean, it wouldn't be that hard if you wanted to yourself sometimes get on a ship.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora a solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias, detalles en Lowe's.com.
I'm going to convince my father to
leave.
I'm going to
convince my father. Historically speaking, Lavar is a large nation, so you might need some kind of a meeting, or you just like request out there possibly. But okay, anyway, so at roughly 10 minutes, you see the boy who was standing here, and a woman who has shoulder-length blonde wavy hair, which has a tight-fitting top that's leather, that's laced across the front, it's a nice sort of armor, short sleeve, and then she has a tattoo on her arm that comes out from underneath her sleeve and goes down to the back of her forearm, and she has pretty blue eyes and a pretty face, and she comes walking out with the lad. And she's leading. Clearly they're together, but she's leading. He's following her about 3 or 4 steps. And he looks like a little blanched, like his face is kind of white, like maybe he got in trouble or something. But he looks like he's following along. So you see she's coming. Marilyn gets up. She was sitting on the beach. She gets up and dusts her butt off in the sand. Ollie's still sitting down there, but he's sort of listening to the passage for the same while. Okay. So there are a variety of knives and daggers there that are more in the price range, anywhere from 5 silver to 25 silver. None of them look to be like exquisite or bizarre in a way. They're all great. Short swords tend to run normal short swords tend to run like 5 to 10. You could probably afford one, but you already have one.
Yeah. Well, I have 2.
Yeah.
I have a long sword that I might sell, so I'm not.
Yeah.
I might talk to you about
that. Stop carrying it around.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Okay. Let me see it.
Here. It's in the sheets, though.
Okay. Is it special in some way?
Check out Amal Dan Inc. for incredible opportunities to support the ministry.
I'll give you 40 gold.
Okay. You want the sheath too?
Yeah. Sounds good, right?
So ask them how to help them back
that money. I am not.
They take stuff before they move away themselves.
I mean,
or you carry.
I don't like short swords that much. Or long swords. Are you sure it's possible?
Your speed.
Also, there's still some by your keys. Okay. I still don't want my tree to No, I gave that. Yeah, my
okay. Anyway, so you sold the long sword. Now that you could buy the nice night for that.
I'm gonna go buy the bag.
Okay. 25.
How much did you do?
5 each. 5 each.
5 each?
No. You can give me 5 of these, you're good. Each middle.
Okay.
Okay. So now you have a dagger, stabber, put it on your belt. Alright. You look. And from there, you can see down on the water line, and you see them standing there talking to the captain of the Little White. You're running short on time.
Okay. Before I go, how much is the knife
again? Those three plus one. Don't worry about running out of money. Selena will always bring more.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Until Selena runs out of money.
I'm so, like, I'm always trying to be nice and paying for the stuff that the group needs, and now I'm out of money, and he's over here racking up money.
Well, you guys gave a lot of money to work getting your parents.
We would have a lot, but we didn't.
Okay, anyway, so then you're heading back down there.
Yeah.
So she steps up to you, and she says, I'm sorry, were you looking for me?
Yeah.
I am Captain Laurel, captain of the Willow White. I understand you ladies were looking for berths to go to Southern Miss Cove later today. Or perhaps as soon as possible. That could be arranged. The normal going rate is 3 silver pieces per person.
Okay, so
we'll take you down and we'll get you there tonight, overnight. We usually leave on the ebb tide. When the tide is rolling out, that helps us get out of the harbor without any issue.
We can pay 3 silver pieces per person when my friend gets back.
The boy can ride for free, of course. Do you have a friend?
Yes.
Okay.
I pay for all the other chariots and boats we rode on.
We are running.
At that point, you see Dan walking out of the marketplace heading this way.
Knife.
He's showing you a knife that he bought. Another knife.
Yes, that's it.
A knife finish.
Yeah, that's it.
Hey, I got four knives. So
you join them. You meet Laurel, captain of the Willow White. This is your companion.
Yes.
9 silver pieces for to take the 3 of you and the boy up to Southern Miss Cove this evening.
Wow.
Smiles. Just smiles at him.
I can change the apologies.
Rather.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, look, I'm keeping that one.
One that has a pure on it in the game. That just to let go on it.
Like that.
Money.
Yeah, she bought money with money.
But it's cool money.
I got a lot of silver now.
Yep. Your pouch looks like you're rich.
I got. Okay. Let me try to argue.
Silver is the going rate for most things, copper or silver. So. You've got enough money to stay in the hotel for a long time. Okay.
Nice.
Anyway, she says, if you want to, you can take the boat out now. I have one more thing to take care of in town. The ebb tide doesn't start for several hours. So assuming you're not in any greater hurry than that, we will wait for the ebb tide. Is that okay?
Okay.
Hey.
Oh,
thanks.
No, you're not.
Remember, the more people see you,
yeah, the more that it's going to be.
We're
going
to sit in the carriage and I'm
going to take it.
Take your pot? No. Since you have a ride arranged, Sam will probably head back to the other boat. He does give a piece of paper to him. Okay. So, the Blue Scarf Lad takes you out on the launch. It's a single-masted vessel, long, thin. There are very small quarters, so each of your rooms are 4 foot by 6 foot. So not just enough room for the bed. And then there's protection from the hammock, and then there's open floor from there over, which is about 2 feet. And then you can't go under the hammock, obviously, and store stuff under here. So it's 4 foot by 6 foot. Each of you has your own room, and then Ollie will be in the room with Marilyn. Okay? Nope.
Huh? But I would take the extra weapons off.
Okay. So you, hang out, you can finish up your bodybuilding and also drink with all the food to shorts for
the
camera. So while you can do the training for the shorts all day.
Yeah.
You have 2 hours back every day. You need 2 hours of shorts or 2 hours of bodybuilding every day. Eventually you'll need 2 hours with your mace or whatever the next one is. You need 2 hours of your lance, but clearly you're not going to get that.
I don't want to use it. What about that?
You're not a knight unless you need a lance.
I know how to
use it. Weapons go in a certain order. Lance is actually first, then short sword. And then your mace, then that's more behind your lance training. Never probably been caught up in your lance training because of the way you came up this morning.
I haven't been on a horse
before. Yeah. So, your knight would train you.
I'm kind of busy.
Okay.
I'm busy trying not to die from other knights.
Aboard ship, things quiet down considerably. Just the occasional someone talking, that kind of thing. The water does lap the boat, and you constantly hear that. And then about 2 hours in, the weather changes slightly, and you begin to get some steady winds that are kind of a little more gusty, and also distant thunderclaps that sound like there's a storm.
Nope. Selena is a lot terrified of lightning.
So
can I predict weather real quick?
Okay. Yes, you can. You have it in memory.
I thought you did, because last session you read off and that was one of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Predict me weather.
Alright, so a storm will hit the harbor in about 2 hours. In the meantime, it's going to rain lightly, and the rain's going to get worse and worse, and then the storm will hit in about 2 hours.
I'm going to go tell the captain about that.
Okay. that you tell the guy that's aboard ship, because she's not currently aboard ship.
Yeah.
And then he passes the word, and then within about a half an hour of you telling him, she gives the order, and they start making preparations to leave harbor. So he realizes if they're going to make it today, they've got to go now. It's a triangular rigged ship, which means the wind that's coming in from that vessel will still be enough for them to get out of the harbor and head down toward Southern Mexico, because they can just swing the boom around and catch the wind, and they can almost go into the wind, almost that way.
Why did they have to leave before the storm hit?
So if they don't leave before the storm hit, they won't be able to leave until after the storm's over.
So
normally they were waiting for the ebb tide, so the tide just kind of goes out, depending on the part of the world, but sometimes in nightfall and midnight, the tide just kind of ebbs out at 2 a.m. And they were waiting for that, because that just sort of like slowly moves you out of the harbor then, as the tide goes out. But with the wind coming up, they have enough wind to go, and they'd rather not get caught in the storm.
That's it.
Yeah, because once the storm comes up, they won't be able to go out.
Well, I'm just going
to
train.
Or they'd have to go out sailing in the storm, which would be dangerous. Right?
I'm just going
to train. Yep, so you're training, and it's raining heavily. The gulls are fishing like crazy because it's stirring up a lot of fish, and the ship starts to get underway.
Ship so much just because they eat fish.
You're invited to take your meals aboard ship while you're on board, and it's very dark, even before nightfall, because of the storm. It's blocking the sun out.
Okay.
Okay.
Still got
lights. Okay. As you have finished all your training with the short sword. You had already finished all your bodybuilding, and so both of them are all caught up. You don't have a lance. You can't train with lance.
Especially that on the horse.
Yeah. All right. You do bow? No. So you could practice with the bow, probably. You have to find a spot below deck so you can't get out in the rain.
I have way off the bow. So I did just practice with my bow a little bit up in the middle.
All right. So the three of you are at dinner, and they basically have a hunk of meat, some broth, some old biscuits. Yep. They're kind of hard. You soak up the broth with the biscuits and get soft.
So the captain came there.
Yep. Yeah, she gave the order to leave. All right. They have a skeleton crew up on deck. And as you're sitting at dinner, and the captain's not taking dinner with the crew. She takes it in her own quarters, but you guys are not invited to her table that night. And the crew's kind of laughing and stuff, but the boat is rocking heartily. So I need both of you to save versus constitution to see if you're seasick. It will be 20, equal or less than your constitution.
I think working through a map.
Oh, yeah, when he mapped, he
you did
up
too?
And I did it. No.
You almost.
I sucked it down. I sucked it down.
I got 13. What was it?
Constitution.
Rolling d20.
I matched it.
Okay. So both of you are fine. You don't get seasick. You'll be fine. Jesse likes to get by. Not long after, so let's see, it would be 6 bells in the evening watch. So about 2.5 hours, 3 hours into the evening watch. They're 4-hour watches. And you guys have just finished up eating, and they're like collecting up the wooden bowls that they use. And there's a guy there who's the cook aboard ship. He's a big, heavy dude. He's really big around in the middle and kind of short, so like 5 foot tall. He's got a bulbous nose. And as he's just coming through and making sure everyone got enough to eat. And his crew, like the cook's assistants, are sitting down to eat. And a man enters who must be a junior officer, you think, aboard ship. And he makes an announcement to the cafeteria where you guys are just getting ready to get up and go. Marilyn's there as well. Ollie's there. He's asleep on Marilyn's lap. Anyway, he says, There's probably like seven or eight other crewmen there, plus the three of you and Ollie. And he says, all hands on deck. Captain says a sail off the eastern bow, and it's suspicious. And they jump up, and they're grabbing their stuff, and they rush out of the room. Okay.
Captain said what?
There's a sail off the bow, and it's suspicious.
It's a
sailboat.
A sail sighted, like the sail.
No, it's gonna be the Black Knight.
Yes. On the boat.
All right.
I'm gonna swim off the boat.
Alright, so are you guys going out to see what's going on?
Yeah.
Are you going out to see what's going on as well?
Grab the sword that was sitting next to the table.
Marilyn says she'll take Ollie back to the room. So he isn't the
outside. Good idea.
Okay. So as the two of you guys step out, you hear murmuring amongst the crew. It's like, talking. And you distinctly hear someone say the word pirates.
Oh, come on!
Sail around them. Go that way. Go that way.
And we'll stop there.
Pirates!
Next time,
I'm going to bed.
Pirates. Either if the ship doesn't successfully outrun them, you'll be dealing with pirates.
Hey!
If you don't want to miss any of the story, Low Moon Origins, Uprising, or Outsiders, like and follow our podcast. Please share it with friends.
Wait.
Why do
we
have to do with pirates?
Pirates?
That's what pirates do, yes.
Stay tuned for more Lomunian adventures.